We're not going to keep you long today just because of the fact we do have a congregation meeting. So I'm going to just speak for a few moments and then we're going to carry on. I was going to continue on in our series of What Do We Believe? But because of the shortened time and the topic that it would have been today, I decided, you know what, that's just not going to happen, because how do you speak on the Trinity in like 10 minutes? So not saying that next week's sermon is going to be extremely long. I'm just saying that it's going to be longer than 10 minutes. So I'm actually thinking that I'll split it in three, go figure, being that it's the Trinity. And it might actually be more than that. We'll see what happens when I get into it next week. So today I'm going to be talking, and it might seem that I'm talking this in regards to what's going on in our congregation and what we're going to be talking about in the next little while when we go to our congregation meeting, but it is related. But I want you to understand the whole heart of this. So turn with me to the book of Psalms, number 133. And I will have you stand once more for the reading of God's word. Psalm 133. And it says this: how wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands the blessing. That's where he ordains eternal life. Father, thank you for your word. God, as we disclose a little bit about it today, I pray that your name will be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A lot of your versions say how blessed it is when the brethren dwell in unity. And you look at this, and I like what it says when it says it's like the dew on Mount Hermon flowing down. Because if you go to Israel, a lot of it is a desert area, kind of like desert area, with an oasis in between, and that's Israel. And when we were at the Masad Mountain, the one that you have to climb and climb and climb, and luckily they have a gondola. Yes, the wonderful tram that you get to ride up the mountain while two of your other congregations are struggling. And they have since told me that they will never do that again. But anyways, getting up there, and you recognize that you're in a desert, and one rainfall, they could accumulate enough water to last their city on the top of Masad for 7 years. One rainfall. So then when you look at this and it says, it's like the dew on Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion, then you realize that when we dwell in unity, it is refreshing for our souls. Okay? Now, I don't know if you've heard me or you recognize what's in my life. I would say that one thing I've always stood up for is unity. I've always stood up for unity. Look into my history and you will see this. As a child, Dad was in ministry to hurting churches, and he brought healing to those churches everywhere he went. Some of those churches had gone through major splits, or they were devastated financially, or they just had a drop in numbers. And through the years, Dad was able to bring those churches through. And I have to say that every church that Dad was a part of, every church that I've been a part of, we have never experienced at the time that we are there a separation within the church or a church that has shut its doors. Now, with Dad in his last church, within 3 years of him leaving, it did shut their doors. People just stopped going and they shut the doors. But I have to say that I love unity. Unity is a strong part of my being. When I became a pastor, I wondered what my role would be, knowing what Dad's was. And then I hear people talk in regards to ministry that the one who follows is supposed to build upon what was left. So I always wondered, okay, God, what does that mean for me? Where does that go for me? Who was I to ever imagine that three churches would be joined together, that at one part were apart? What an amazing thing. I'm not trying to lift my own self up in this. I'm just trying to see where is God leading us. And so I have to tell you that if you want to get my back up about anything, just talk to me about something that brings separation or disunity. That will bring me up like you wouldn't believe. I will get upset. I will get mad. I will get angry. I will say things that I probably shouldn't. I'm hoping that today is not one of those days. I can also tell you that I have heard talk, and I've heard it from both sides of the coin. I've heard people say that if we don't vote yes on this coming project, that they might consider leaving the church. I've heard people say that if we don't vote no on this project, then they will consider leaving this church. To both of you groups, I say to one thing, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus and the spirit of disunity and separation, because it does not belong in the house of God. It does not belong. No matter where our vote goes, this church's ministry will go forward. It will move. No matter where this vote goes, this person right here will be your pastor. I will. I've heard that. I've heard people say, well, what will Corey do if this goes wrong? Corey, don't worry about Corey. Corey was called to Manning. Corey's family was called to Manning, and we are going to stay here. I do have one other thing that I have to say, and this is for all of us. We need to be just a hair more mature in our Christian walk, because our Christian walk is all about unity. No matter what happens, whether it be in a new building or the one we are currently in, we need to do the best ministry that we can. No matter what, we have to figure that out. How do we do ministry best wherever we go? How do we do it in Manning to minister to the people in Manning? We have a great history in this church of supporting other countries, other missionaries, and everything like that. A wonderful thing. We support, I think it's 15 or so, I can't remember the exact number, of missionaries around the world. We are giving probably close to 20 to 25% of what we get in our offerings to missions. I've always said to the board, I said, we got to make sure that we give our tithe to missions. Well, we're giving a double tithe and more. And I am blessed because of that. You are blessed because of that. Our church is blessed because of that. But there is also a mission field that is not 2 feet outside our doors. And so we need to also look there. What does that mean? I don't know, but we need to make sure that whatever we do it to the best with what we have, whether that be here or in a new building. It doesn't matter where we worship. I've said to a few people, I said, we could meet in that dumpster and I'll still be your pastor. Now, I don't know how we would fit this many people in that dumpster, but it would probably smell bad. We'd probably have to hire a few cleaning people to do such a thing. So today is a test. No matter the outcome, there are going to be people disappointed in the direction that the church votes. No matter, just like downstairs, those kids are going through a little bit of a draw, that there's going to be a bunch of kids that are disappointed. But there are also going to be that one, or in this case, there will be a few that are going to be happy with however we vote. But regardless, we need to remember that we have to overcome our disappointment and still be in unity with the ones we have differences with. That's the most important thing. Now I want to switch gears just a little bit. Today is our Communion Sunday. And whenever most churches take communion, they like to quote from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In fact, more often than not, I like to quote Paul as well. But I really thought it would be important to look at the context that Paul is writing. So I ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says this, if anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." Find it really interesting that Paul talks about disunity just before he talks about the communion. And then he goes into it and he says, if you have not discerned the body correctly. Now, what does that mean? There's a bunch of different ways that you can look at this, and I think Paul was looking at it in two different ways. The first way is that there are people who are sick among you because they have not quite discerned the body. So the body of Christ was made for healing. And when we don't discern the body of Christ properly, the body of Christ being the one that was on the cross, and when it was crucified, it brought our healing. The second thing about this, though, is that he's also looking at it that we have not discerned the unity within the body. And that when we look at that, and we all of a sudden we're getting together, and you know when he says that first some of you will take drink and you will not let those that are hungry, or you'll take eat and not allow others to eat, and you'll let them go hungry. What is he saying there? He's saying, well, you're being selfish. Saying there's those that are thirsty and yet you're going out and getting drunk. Well, you're being selfish. That's what he's saying. And then he says, but let's go into the body of Christ and let's discern it properly. Let's make sure that there's unity. There is division. He says that. There is division. But on this matter, I don't commend you. What is he saying? He's saying, I don't commend you in the fact that you're letting your divisions cause disunity. How many people here disagree with something that I have said in the past sometime or other? Notice my hand is up. We disagree, but yet we're unified. So I think that's the important thing, that no matter what happens in the coming moments, we need to remember one thing. Jesus Christ was sent to this earth to be crucified so that we could have eternal life. That's what we need to remember. Are we unified in that? How many of you are unified in the fact that Jesus Christ is your Savior? So there we are. We are in unity. Now we can have division. We can. And still be in unity. Look at a pie. I'll just leave it at that. Because I know we can take that way too far. Yeah, you put ice cream on it, there you go. And then it melts, and then there's even more unity. So we need to make sure that this is not happening in any way in our church, that we are being selfish. I have mine, and you can't have any of it. Well, definitely, if we go through this build, I better leave, because I don't want a part of it. Or, well, if we go through this build, look at my church. Those are all wrong. Since when does God's worthiness of worship have anything to do with how or where we worship? So in the next few minutes, when we are discussing the direction of this body of believers, remember that we need to be unified even if there are disagreements. Also, please be kind to one another. We need to be able to see the other perspective. It's obvious that there is a need. Last year at this time, we were averaging about 108 people. For some reason, we had the desire that we needed to put a building committee together. Sorry, we've changed that name because of how it's been. Yeah, we now call it the Church Planning Committee because we have nothing to do with the building. We basically have taken the ministries and said, can we fit it in a structure? It's what we've done. It's not a building committee. Anyhow, we put that together. Now this year, up until this moment, our average is 128. That's 20 more than last year at this time. However, the last 6 weeks, we are over 150 average attending church. So I would say there is a need for something. But there's also the other aspect of it. Jules might even mention this later on if he gets the opportunity to speak. The fact that the proper, how does it go, the king? Should not the king sit down and count the cost before going to war? So we need to count the cost. How much is it going to cost us? How much is this going to be? What's it going to mean? We need to do that. But then we also have to add faith too. You know, what is a church unless the Lord builds the house? How can the Lord build the house unless there's faith involved? So there's different aspects to look at. I'm not going to get into all that stuff, even though I just did a little bit. All I know is that there is need here of some sort, and we need to figure out what we're going to do. So with this being said, it is Communion Sunday, but I think it would be important that we delay taking communion with one another. The reason being, I think it should be a test. Even with all the discussion and a vote that might not go your way, can you still take communion with your brother and be in unity? So we are going to have communion at the end of the meeting, is what we're going to do. I don't know how long the meeting is going to take, but we're going to have communion at the end. So when we leave this place, we need to be praising our Lord and Savior. We need to remember that God is still God and that Christ still died for all of us. And if we are taking communion properly, it will be in a unity, not because of who or what we have done, but because who our Savior is and because of what He has done. Let us pray.